Chapter 44 Oasis of Dawn. We cover a fair distance from the camp, but it's not enough. The Korlings will rise at dusk and follow our trail, moving far faster than we can over the sands. We've bought ourselves a few hours at best. Should have seen 3 wayposts by now, I say, which means either they all got buried, Selim begins, or... We're off course. Arik is studying his map. We should have passed a spring an hour ago. Travellers depend on the springs along the desert road to sustain them on the crossing. Life clings to those little patches of land surrounding small seepage pools. Easily waded across, but more valuable than gold. We packed water, but all of us are consuming more than expected, the animals included. We can afford to miss this spring, but not all of them. And without the wayposts to guide us. Might as well set camp now, I say. No point pushing on till we know where we are. Maybe the stars can tell us more than a compass and a map. The night is clear, and the moon a thinning crescent. With no city lights and great words to blot them, countless stars light up the sky. All the groupings from astronomy maps, speckled with stars only my eyes can see, invisible. Even to the astronomers of the old world with great distance lenses, or my friends with their warded sight. Still, Rojva is the first to speak, lifting a finger to point at a cluster of stars.
We are too far east.
Aye. Selin's scent is less sure as she stares up at the sky. But there's no way to tell how many wayposts have been buried in sandstorms over the last 15 years. We could cross the desert road a dozen times and never know it.
She's right. Arik rolls his map and puts it back in the tube. And without the springs, we don't have enough water to wander for long.
Then we don't make for the road, I say. Everyone looks at me, and it takes me a moment to realise they don't understand. Da says there's only one place to head if you're lost in the waste.
The oasis.
Rojva turns her eyes back to the sky, even as Arik reopens his map tube.
Oasis?
Selin asks.
The Oasis of Dawn, Arik says, has greeted every traveller through the waste since the desert road was blazed.
In Evora, we will have water enough to reach it.
Da wrote a lot about the Oasis,
I say, trying to keep the eagerness from my voice. Might encounter other folk there. And sometimes animals come to drink. There's shelter, fruit trees, even a fishing hole.
I am sold, Selin says. How do we find it?
It takes a while to figure. The Krasians have different names for the constellations than the ones Da used, but eventually we work it out. Between the map, the compass, and the stars, we hazard a reasonably educated guess.
How educated?
Selin hasn't been able to help, and it's made her prickly.
Reckon I can smell a big pool like that for miles, I say.
Even if we're off a little, we'll come close enough for me to sniff it out. Selin seems satisfied with that reply, but Rojva clearly is not.
Even if you are correct, it will take 3 days to reach the oasis. Do we have water enough?
Barely, Arik says. We will need to conserve without lessening our pace.
Not dying's a good motivator, I say. Can't afford to dally in any event, unless we want to get caught outside the walls at New Moon.
That sobers everyone.
Selin goes to her bedroll.
Best we get some rest before the demons catch up.
I'll take first watch.
Arik finishes polishing his spear and shield, rising to hold them like lovers. I've no doubt he'll take the second watch too. And the third. As long as it takes to find another chance to drive his warded spear into a demon, tasting its magic.
We've got hard level ground tonight, I tell him, and not a lot of wind. The circle will hold. Might be smart to clean the grip from your Comanche. We're safer using music and fighting as a last resort.
Arik laughs.
I threw my Comanche to the sand before we left camp this morning, son of Arlen.
He points with his spear back the way we've come.
Half a day's walk that way.
Everarm's a beard, you are a fool.
Rojva spits in the dust. Fool was father's job, Arik says. I know what I am now. I don't want to get involved. Night. I wish I could mist into the ground like a demon to flee the building conflict. But from the looks they're giving each other, and the way they smell, this is going to escalate if I don't say something. It's all sunny. I cut in before Rojva spits a venomous reply. I'll play, instead. Arik shrugs.
Do as you wish.
There is no concession in his scent. There's no point arguing. I run a finger over the horror coin that Damaja affixed to my pipes, wondering if I can keep the demons too far away for him to pick a fight. I move to my own bedroll, hoping to catch a bit of rest before the demons catch up. I pass Selin, propped up on one arm, staring at Arik. You'll be careful with that one, she whispers. Reminds me of Elakata, when she got drunk on demon ichor. I squat beside her. Saw her too. But this ain't that. You sure? Selin asks. I felt it too, never felt so good in my life. Wasn't like the fight on the Borough Tor. Reckon your wooden armour took most of the charge, I say. Mam says it was designed that way to help hollow soldiers keep control. This time it went right into you. Aye, maybe, Selin agrees. But it ain't magic that's got Arik and Rojva ready to boil over, I say. This scrap's been building for years. Best we stay out of it as much as we can. Aye. Selin snorts a laugh. Creator knows, I want to punch my wood-brained brothers often enough. Rojva puts her head down. She's better at faking sleep than Selin, but not enough to fool me. She's wide awake and watching us through slitted eyes, but she's too far off to hear our low voices. Who taught you to read the stars? Selin asks. Dad kept the charts, but Mam taught me to read them, I say. Figuring out where you are by the stars is extra important when you can skate 1,000 miles in a heartbeat, but can't see where you're going. Why don't you? Selin asks. I'm confused. Why don't I what? Just skate to Krasia, Selin asks. I've seen you do it. I shake my head. You saw Mam drag me. Ain't the same thing. Why not? Selin asks. He will be born in darkness, the Damaja said, and will carry it inside him. Magic burns off with the sun, I tell her. So surface life never adapted to it. But Corlings live in magic like fish live in water. Their bodies absorb and hold it like coals buried in ash. So when Mam and my Da, I get queasy at the thought, ate demons, it changed them. Selin nods. Gave them powers. I guess, I say. I've never eaten demon. Whatever seed of magic they pass to me is only a fraction of that. Little seeds can grow into big trees, Darren, Selin says. The words remind me of the hidden part of the Damaja's foretelling, the part I wish I could make myself forget. A boy of limitless potential and a future of despair. Does that mean I'm going to fail no matter what I do? Not every seed gets to be a tree, and if I don't, who I got to blame but myself? Hey. Selin lays a hand on my foot. The pressure through the soft leather of my boot is gentle, but it's enough to pull me back. Where did you go? I shake my head. Just thinking. It ain't that I don't trust her, but I'm coming to see why folk keep prophecies a secret. Makes you second guess everything. I go back to the original question. Wouldn't skate to Krasia even if I could. Hate it. She tilts her head at me. That why you were screaming when you and your mam skated in that last time. The memory of that humiliating moment is burned into my mind, always ready to fill me with fresh shame. It's no wonder Selin doesn't want to kiss me anymore. But that ain't her problem. It's mine. Always a struggle getting folk to understand my troubles, but maybe this one I can explain. Think the sun hurt when it burned off your magic this morning? Try having every bit of you pulled apart until you burst into mist and are sucked down into a twister during a lightning storm. Selen squeezes her hand on my foot. How do you keep from just blowing away? Mam says it's will. But Cor, if I could ever understand it, I admit. And even will's got its limits. That's how my dad died. Stretched so far he couldn't pull himself back together. Selen puts a hand over her mouth. Oh, Darren, I'm so sorry. She rises to embrace me, but I'm barely holding together, and that would put it over the edge. I back away, just enough for her to get the message. She nods, sitting on her bedroll and patting a spot next to her. I take the offered seat. No going after Olive and a game, and I don't want to seem selfish, but this trip? Seeing places Dar wrote about? It's been like getting to know him a bit. Nothing selfish about wanting to know your dad better, Selen says. Guess not, I say. Dad called the Oasis of Dawn the most beautiful place in the world. Said it saved his life more than once. It's nice that you can read your dad's journals, Selen says. See who he really was. The General's got his tales, but I've heard them get bigger every year. Who knows where the truth ends and the ale story begins? You could just ask him. The words come out harder than I intend. Selen is trying to understand, but she doesn't. Not really. Give anything to be able to go up to my dad and ask him a question. Even if all I got was an ale story. Sorry. Selen keeps her eyes forward, staring in the same direction as me, but she reaches out a hand, laying it over mine. What would you ask him, if you could? I hesitate. The answer's personal, but it ends a prophecy. Who in the world can I trust, if not Selen Cutter? Why he left us, I guess. Selen is quiet a long time. Saving the world ain't some small thing, Darren. Know that, I say. But whenever I imagine meeting him, it's the first thing I ask. And the second? Selen asks. Just, if the first one was personal, this is being caught naked on a cold day. What he thinks of me? I choke, and suddenly my eyes are blurry. I squeeze them shut to force the water out, feeling tears run down my cheeks. Not much I expect. I feel Selen's arms close around me, and this time I don't have the will to resist. That's tamweed talk, Darren Bales. You're smart and brave and make beautiful music. You do anything to help your friends. What dad wouldn't be proud of all that? I sob, and Selen pulls me close, squeezing me tight as I weep into her shoulder for just a few moments. I feel ashamed when it's done, turning away to dab my eyes with my scarf. Across the fire I see Rojva watching, and the feeling worsens. Creator only knows what she's thinking. Croatian women take tears seriously. Got whole rituals about it. But the men ain't supposed to cry. Protected by a ring of massive wardstones, the Oasis of Dawn is an island of perfection in the waste, fed by an underground river that passes close to the surface. Sand and hard clay give way suddenly to verdant grasses, shaded by fruiting trees and bushes grown in clusters with medicinal herbs, some natural and some cultivated over time for utility and beauty. The crystal water in the deep pool is clean to drink, and large enough for an entire caravan of people and animals to wade in and quench their thirst, along with the local fauna. That's what Dad's journal said, at least. It ain't what we find. The warded obelisks are fully revealed and easily spotted, but inside their sucker the fruiting trees and bushes have all been cut, the remains torn up, root and stump, to leave puddles amid soil packed hard as a wagon rut. The pool is drained down to a murky and brackish pond at the centre of a wide, muddy depression, buzzing with insects. I could smell its stink a mile out. Patches of coarse vegetation cling stubbornly to the land, but it ain't nothing close to verdant. 60,000 of us crossed the desert to the Greenlands, Rojva says. When the Maja returned with their Cheen thralls, it was nearly as many. Everarm never meant this place to support such numbers.
Sucked the orange dry. I feel sick inside. Turned the most beautiful place in the world into a wooded mud puddle. How many times had I dreamed of this place, poring over Dad's description and illustrations? Is there anything in the world left I can share with him?
Bah,
Arik says. Everarm wills as Everarm will. The words are the first he's spoken since the night before, and don't sound like him at all. The Creator placed the Oasis here to aid his grand army in their path north to Sharak's sun and eternal glory. Sharak's sun. The daylight war of prophecy, where my bloodfather's army sacked and annexed southern Thesa, levying the people of Fort Risen and Lacton into his demon-killing army. I ball a fist. Nothing glorious about what your people did in Sharak's sun, Arik.
The histories agree the Greenlands were too soft, Reshva says. The dukes bickered and fought among themselves, hiding from the Alagai like cowards. It was only my grandfather's coming that hardened them, in time.
Demon shit, Selen spits in the dust. Darren's Dar and Hollow were already starting to fight back against the demons before all the murder and theft you hide in grandfather's coming.
The words don't seem to bother Roshva. If anything, she smells satisfied.
A brush fire when you needed an inferno.
I smell Selen taking the bait before she opens her mouth. We're all tired, hungry, and thirsty. Worried. I try to imagine 60,000 people, but it's too big a number. Folk carrying their lives on their backs or in carts, holding children and helping elderly. Pack animals, livestock, hounds. All of them tired, all of them hungry, all of them thirsty. Worried about survival, not some pretty garden. Worried about freezing if they don't find something to burn. I'm right, the most beautiful place in the world had to pay the price, but I can't bring myself to blame folk in need.
Selen is shouting now, and Arik is shouting back. Roshva lets her brother carry the bulk of the argument while throwing in quiet darts to needle Selen, who looks ready to throttle them both.
What does it matter who was right? I snap, and everyone turns my way. War was over before any of us learned to crawl. And nothing's going to bring the folk we lost to it back.
Got more important worries right now.
Honest word. Selen seems to deflate. We got enough water to make it to Fort Crazier.
Arik shakes his head.
Desert Spear is 3 days away at least. 4, if we are dehydrated. We don't have enough to last another day.
Roshva looks to the murky, fetid pool.
Perhaps we can filter the water with silk and boil it?
Aye, maybe. I inhale deeply through my nose, catching another scent hidden beneath the stink. But I want a closer look. I remember roughly Dad's map of the oasis, but apart from the obelisks, all the landmarks are gone. It gives me a rough idea of where to look, but that's all I need to sniff out the ancient stair. Cut first into the trampled soil and baked clay, and then into harder material, as it leads down, down. Long before we get close, I can hear the rush of the river, smell the fresh water. But I say nothing until the others sense it too. I can smell their relief as Selen gives a cheer, taking the last steps, two at a time, in her hurry to drink and fill her water skins. The others follow, even Roshva sacrificing a bit of dignity to lift the hem of her robe and hurry down to the water. I climb back up the stairs instead, slowly counting. My tension grows until I reach the step Da wrote about and run my hand over a certain dry stone. The clay mortar crumbles around it, and I pull the stone free, revealing a small, dry compartment. My throat tightens, and my hands shake as I reach inside, pulling out a carefully folded mass of knotted rope. Da's fishing net. A
I have to keep my hands from shaking as I hold it, taking it in with every sense at once. The texture of the rope fibres, the creak as I tug and test their strength. I inhale, tasting his scent, preserved in the dry heat. I know it well. I used to play in Dad's old rummage trunks just to sit in that smell. Dad made it with his own hands, wove every lattice, tied every knot. The feelings are so intense, I feel myself going slippery to escape them. I have to suck in before the net slips from my fingers. The father waits below. The similarity to Aunt Leisha's prophecy is hard to shake. I wish to share something with my dad, and here I find his old net, hidden below ground, waiting for me. But it's got to be a coincidence. If this is the prophecy made true, the creator's got a strange sense of humour. I take it in a little longer, then head back down to the river. Who's hungry for fish? 3 days later, bellies full and throats still moist, we reach Fort Crozier, the desert spear. The city walls tower over the landscape, its great gates big enough for 3 rock demons to walk abreast. We pass 2 ruined czars on the way, the char still pungent. The sights are an unnerving reminder that the Korlings are up to something, and we'll reach the city just hours before the first night of new moon. Nearly 3 months now since Olive was taken, Selen says. Think she's all right? Reckon she's in a silk prison full of servants and pretty clothes, just like we were, I say. She'd have loved that, Selen says, if they hadn't kidnapped her and dragged her 1,000 miles from home. You think they tried to marry her to that prince? I shrug. If they did, reckon he's got 2 broken arms by now. Selen laughs, but she still smells sad and afraid. And why not? I feel it too. I want to reach out, to touch her arm the way she did when I needed comfort, but I hesitate. I'm not used to touching anyone. If anything, they touch me. And then the moment is gone. Reckon I can scale that wall without a problem, I say. Maybe open one of those side gates. Unless the guards are utter fools, they have already spotted us, Rofer says. With the Tsars destroyed, any travellers on this road will stand out like wayposts. Night, I say. Now what do we do? We don't do anything, son of Arlen, Rofer says, save ride to the gate, show the royal seal, and demand an audience with the Damaji. Did you think to sneak over the wall and into the palace? I blink. That's exactly what I thought. And now I look like an idiot. Even Selen has a hand over her face, shaking her head quietly. You passed the Demarge's test, Rofer says. But not even you could manage that. Test? I ask. Of course, Rofer's smile is patient. Though it took longer than she expected for you to lose patience and offer to steal away and rescue Olive. But I fumble for words, not entirely knowing what it is I'm feeling. Why? Why not just ask me? Rofer is still looking at me like I am a fool. So that when your uncle reaches the city, or grandfather returns, she can swear she had nothing to do with it. Corseborn witch, Selen growls. We lost a week and more sitting on pillows. We left when we were meant to leave, Rofer says. It is in Evera. I wonder if there were other throws of the dice at work. Arik's fate, or Rofer's, to inform the Demarge's decision. That mean this is going to work? Rofer shrugs. It means we succeed in more futures than her other options. Well, that ain't exactly comforting, Selen says. The Marja are honourless, Arik says. The last thing we want to be is comfortable.